T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike Chinn, let's go. Welcome in to hour two of the program. We're going until 10 o'clock tonight. Our job is to keep you entertained until you get to where you're going. If you want to share the show with people, be good with that too. We talked in the first hour about the sports opinion that you were dug in on and completely wrong about. It's fun. It's fun stuff. A lot of people texted in stuff. It's interesting to kind of go through and be like, man, I was so adamant about that, and then I was completely wrong. It all started because of a conversation I had in the barbershop today about LeBron James going to the Lakers and people in the barbershop saying that the Lakers right now, the number two team in the West. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think that's the case at all. I wanted to talk about how that move affects the rest of the NBA, what the Warriors did yesterday, and where the Bulls are at. So I thought I'd reach out to our Bulls pre- and post-game host, Steve Cashel. You can hear him do pre- and post here on The Score. Once the season starts back up, glad to have him on the program. Always enjoyed his work. What's up, Cash?
Oh, Lawrence, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Let me ask you the question I asked everyone else in the first hour. What was your sports opinion that you were completely dug in on and then proven wrong?
Wow. Oh, man. On any sport, huh?
Yeah. Well, is there a player that you thought for sure was going to be great, and they turned out to be a bust, or vice versa?
Well, I got to think about that. I heard you doing it earlier. I didn't know it was going to be presented to me.
Well, you know, we like to catch the guests off guard occasionally, throw stuff in there. All right, we'll come back to it. Think about it, and we'll come back to it.
I will.
What did you think when you heard that LeBron was going to the Lakers?
No surprise. I thought Cleveland had an outside chance because of his son, Bronny, that he was with this great team, you know, this travel team, AAU team, that he didn't want to leave it. And when he said it might be up to his family, but then I heard that the kid already had entered registered for classes at a high school in Los Angeles. So, done deal. And I was surprised it was so quick, really. I thought he would take more time and think about it and see how things laid out Lakers-wise of what Magic was going to put together and could they get Kawhi Leonard and what kind of team was going to be there for LeBron. But it happened very quickly. He came back from his vacation from the Caribbean. Boom. He signed with L.A. He flew to L.A. and that was it. So I was surprised it happened so quickly. But good luck competing with the Warriors. I think it's going to be, you know, he had a better chance in the East to go to the finals than he does in the West.
Yeah, that's why I thought that it was a good idea for him to stay in the East, because once you go out West, we're not just talking about the Warriors and the Rockets. Obviously, those two teams are great. But you have a Denver team that was 10 games above 500 and didn't even make the playoffs last year. And so now you're doubling up the amount of times you're going to see Golden State and Houston and Portland and OKC. And I just, depending on what they add, I mean, I guess they could still get Kawhi Leonard. It strikes me as that LeBron is at least punting on year one in Los Angeles. And as great as he is, I think that might be dangerous.
Yeah, it is going to be dangerous. You know, it's going to take some time. These things have to work out. And the Spurs do not want to give the Lakers Kawhi. They're going to make it very difficult. If Kawhi sits out, you know what? Spurs are fine with that. They'd rather get something for him, but they're not just going to give him away, especially to someone else in the West. So, I mean, adding Lance Stephenson and, you know, do they have to let go of Ingram to do a deal for Kawhi? You know, it's you don't want to give away the farm, right? It's going to be, but I just don't see that Lakers team being really, really good. I mean, how good is Lonzo Ball, right?
Well, you're talking about a guy with a torn meniscus right now.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And even when he doesn't have one, he can't shoot. And then you got another point guard that has trouble shooting in Rajon Rondo. It's the team that they put around him, it's almost like, Cash, I was joking about this last night, it's almost like a reality show. It's like you have LeBron James in the middle of this, and you've added Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, and of course, you know, Lonzo Ball and his dad. You know, like it seems like the perfect recipe if we were going to do a reality show on NBA TV.
Yeah, really. But I am surprised. I mean, LeBron is so powerful, and I mean on the court, he is so good that I'm shocked that he led that team to the finals this year, you know, with guys that really weren't playing that well. I mean, Korver played great in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Kevin Love did his stuff, and, you know, but I just, it was all LeBron. It really was, because he didn't have a great supporting cast. So, but are you going to beat Houston, and are you going to beat Golden State? There's no way. There's no way that the Lakers are going to finish higher than third in the Western Conference, and to think about beating those teams with everyone healthy, if everyone stays healthy, especially with DeMarcus Cousins going to Golden State now, there's no chance. I really don't see it for LeBron. It might take a couple of years, and he's going to have to be patient.
You've covered sports for a really long time. You've been involved with basketball for a long time. When you see LeBron as a player, what do you see?
Boy. Different than Michael Jordan. I mean, you know, Michael, I love the way that Michael was dedicated to the Bulls no matter what they were, and he stayed patient and let Jerry Krause build the team. You know, he's just a different athlete. LeBron, to me, isn't a great shooter. He's not a great free-throw shooter, but he can get to anywhere on the floor he wants, and he kind of has that same Jordan will to win. You know, ride my shoulders. I'm going to hit the impossible shot. I'm going to lead this team to heights that you didn't think I'd be there. So I still think Jordan is the all-time greatest ever. It's all about championships. Kobe is right there, but LeBron is such a specimen, and I have great respect for him because of really his talent and his drive and his motivation, but it's just different than Jordan.
How weird is it that we've gone from watching basketball where we used to think of guys like Karl Malone as like the biggest, baddest guys and down in the paint, and now LeBron is built like that, but he has the ball in his hands and he's playing on the wing. And now, you know, the next part of that evolution is guys like Joel Embiid that are 7 feet tall, that are out playing on the perimeter. It's been quite a drastic shift over the last 30 years.
Yeah, it has, Lawrence, and that's the new NBA. You know, forget about these low-post 7-foot centers. They're gone. I mean, as you know, we found that out last year at the end of last bull season. We were talking about, you know, Lauri Markkanen's going to play the 5. And so, why? Because he can cover a lot of players on the floor. He can go out to the perimeter. He likes to, you know, these stretch fours are really playing the 5s. So, you know, these centers that are just can't move up and down and laterally, they're gone. I mean, I think the Golden State Warriors have changed the way the game is played with Draymond Green, you know, being able to guard all 5 players on the floor. And LeBron bringing the ball up. I mean, although, you know, back in the Bulls days, if you remember, Michael brought the ball up a lot.
Scotty did too, yeah. You know?
So it has changed, but those guys were certainly different with Phil, you know, and his schematics and things. But no, it's amazing now. I mean, I think that's why I think the Bulls getting a player like Chandler Hutchison from Boise State, you know, with their second pick was huge, because here's a typical 6'7" guy that can shoot threes, he can rebound. That's the new NBA. You know, it's not a small man game anymore. You know, it's not the big man game with the big centers. It's the guys that can go out and cover all 5 players on the floor, especially the way the teams switch on defense now.
I'm going to take LeBron out of this question, and I'm going to take the Bulls out, because obviously, and we're talking with Steve Cascio, does Bulls pre- and post-game here on The Score. Who's your favorite player to watch in the league, and why?
You're taking who out? LeBron and who else?
And the Bulls.
And the Bulls. When I turn it on, probably Steph Curry. I think he's the most exciting. You know what I love when he goes to the hole and he does his little dipsy-doo layups, you know? He's almost impossible to guard sometimes. He'll pull up from 45 feet. If you give him an open three, it's in. And then all of a sudden, you lay off him, and he'll have his little dipsy doodle to the hoop, and he hits these layups. And I'm like, how is a little guy like that? So I love to watch Steph Curry, but I love to see him warm up. I tell you, Bulls fans get tickets to watch the Golden State Warriors, their one visit to the United Center this year, whenever the schedule comes out in mid-August. Come early and just watch Steph warm up and do his basketball Harlem Globetrotters practice drills. They're really fun.
So for a fan that hasn't seen them, because I've seen some video of it, well, what do you like about watching it? Well, what's he doing that fans should come and check out?
Oh, I tell you, he does this thing. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters. He gets a couple of basketballs, and he does this. He's right on the baseline, and before he even shoots or anything, he does this thing where he just dribbles around his legs, and he's got two basketballs. And he'll go up and down the court with two basketballs. Everything's with two basketballs. And he dribbles around his legs like the Harlem Globetrotters. And then he'll work up quite a sweat. He has one assistant coach that he works with every game. And he'll just, you know, work on shooting drills. And it's quite something to see, because he'll hit 30 in a row. And then he'll hit the free throws. You know, he'll go to the free throw line and hit 10 or 15 of those. And he just gets the full workout before the game. You see what these guys go through before the game. And this was after a morning shoot around, most likely. And to see him, it's just unlike any other workout I've seen. I like Kyle Korver's workout as well. He really goes hard in his preparation to be a great shooter in those games. So I enjoyed the pregame with Kyle Korver, but Steph Curry is definitely something when you bring your phone, press record, because you want to record the video.
It's so funny that you bring up Kyle Korver's name, because what I like about both of those guys that you mentioned, obviously Curry's range is, you know, in the gym range. But the thing that I think would drive a defender crazy, and it's the same thing for Korver, the way that they run you around screens, both of those guys are in motion all the time. So by the time that you get around the screen, if Curry's off the ball and gets the ball, now you got to guard him, and he's got great handles too. With Kyle, it's a little bit different. You don't have to worry about him going to the basket. But I love to watch those guys work that baseline weave and get around a screen to try to get an open look.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And I think the Bulls often tell their own players, watch these guys move. There's constant movement. There's no standing around. No one should be standing around. You know, that's when I think when Jimmy Butler was with the Bulls, it was, all right, give the ball to Jimmy. Everything's going to stop. They always said the ball stopped with him or Dwayne Wade. And Rondo wanted to keep it moving. That's why that didn't work great, although it was fun watching those three play together. But watch Korver run. Watch Curry run. Watch the Golden State Warriors. Constant motion. That's what Steve Kerr's philosophy is. I don't care who scores. And again, the whole big deal with Steve Kerr is when you have a good shot, get me a great shot. And that's really the philosophy. And that's why there are multiple NBA champions now, and they could win another two or three before this thing breaks up.
Cash, with LeBron leaving the Eastern Conference, there's clearly an opportunity for all the rest of the teams, considering, was there like one player who's won a championship in the entire conference now? But now that he's gone, do you think that this changes in any way the timetable for the Bulls as they try and rebuild?
Oh, possibly. It's still Boston's conference now. If they're going to keep the East and the West, I mean, I can't see anybody beating Boston. To think that they went to the Eastern Conference Finals without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving is amazing. I mean, think of they're two best players. So they're going to get Kyrie back, and they're going to get Hayward back, who's phenomenal. And I think he's going to come back like Paul George did after the injury. And, you know, that's good. But to answer your question, yeah, with LeBron out, you know, will the Bulls grab a playoff spot? I know no one likes being stuck in the middle. But, again, the Bulls are in a rebuild. It's not like you're now the Cleveland Cavaliers who are going to be stuck in the middle. The Bulls have obviously decided we're going to do a rebuild when they traded Jimmy Butler. And they're on a great path that John Pax keeps saying, look at the five players we have now that we didn't have a year ago. And Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and now Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchison. Those are five really, really good players, all possible all-stars in the future that they didn't have a year ago, and that's how you rebuild.
What did you think of the drafting of Wendell Carter?
I liked it. You know, when we were doing the draft show with Bill Lennington and Chuck Swirsky Lawrence, I was real nervous that Wendell Carter Jr. wasn't going to be there. When I saw Trae Young being taken, I loved it because I said, okay, now we know we're going to get Carter. I thought someone might take a chance on Michael Porter Jr., but I was hoping that we weren't stuck with having to – I didn't want Trae Young. You know, I just didn't want Trae Young. But it was great to see that that Wendell Carter Jr. was there. And if you would have told me after I found out in the draft lottery the Bulls are picking seventh that they would wind up with Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchinson then at 22, I would have taken it then. You know, I know they were trying, I believe, I don't know this for sure, I wasn't in the war room. I think they were trying to trade up, as were a lot of teams, but and Memphis was willing to, but you had to take on that Chandler Parsons $50 million deal, which isn't smart, and believe me, Paxson and Gar Foreman, those guys, I really believe they know what they're doing, and better than any fan does, and they're going to make the right moves, and they just didn't, everybody wanted them to trade up, but it takes two, and it makes the right deal. If you weren't going to hit a home run, it's not worth it.
If they would have, and we talked about this a little bit on the show too, Cash, that had they taken Michael Porter Jr., would you have understood them kind of swinging for the fences and taking a risk?
Yes and no. I think that's what the fans wanted, just to swing for the fences. But, you know, all of a sudden you learn that this guy may not play next year. He really might not. I mean, he's got this back problem, and it's now into his hip, and they're trying to find a cure for it. And it's not good. And we had Mark Bartlestein, his agent, on our sports medicine show, Dr. Brian Cole and I, last Saturday, and he was pretty open about it. And, you know, they say, you know, he's a great kid and the whole thing, but I think Michael Porter Jr. was very surprised he went 14th. But Denver's a team that could sit him out for a year. But the Bulls aren't in that position. You know, they need a guy that can play right now with Markkanen and with Dunn and with Levine. And Wendell Carter is the low risk pick, and that doesn't mean a bad pick, but high ceiling, low risk. Michael Porter Jr. was the high risk. You don't want to pick a guy that may not play next season, and then who knows for seasons after that. It seems like every time this guy tried to play, something flared up in his back, and that's not good.
What do you think happens with Levine?
You know what? I think Zach, it's so funny because I couldn't wait as one of the Bulls announcers to see this guy last year, and they kept telling me in practice, wow, the assistant coaches, wait till you see Zach. And I guess he was better in practice than he was in the games. He had his flashes, but he was really, when you think about it, he was just extending, Lawrence, his rehab with the torn ACL. You know, while Derrick Rose didn't come back, Zach did come back when the doctors cleared him, and he wanted to come back earlier, but the Bulls did it right. They thought he might come back in December, out in January, then all of a sudden before the All-Star break, and he had that great game against Minnesota and Jimmy Butler. But he had some flashes, but I can't get, you know, we can't get aggravated. It wasn't a great showing for Zach LaVine overall, because I think he could be so much better. But everyone thought Zach was going to be the key player in that deal, and I think now they found out that it's going to be Lauri Markkanen, because he was so good in his rookie year, better than anyone thought.
Do you think that LaVine will get an offer from somewhere else? Like, I've already been hearing that Sacramento might be sniffing around, and they might just say, hey, we'll make it a number that the Bulls don't want to do for LaVine.
That's possible, Lawrence, just because there's so much money out there. I mean, when you're given, you know, like when the NBA raised their salary cap a couple years ago and they're giving Luol Deng $72 million, as the Lakers did, and Joakim Noah $72 million, and where are those guys now? They're not even playing. You know, there's money out there. So if someone's going to give LaVine, and I think LaVine's going to be excellent, and I'm not sure if the Bulls would, you know, do a max deal for him or match it. So I think the Bulls are hoping that, you know, it stays in that 14 to 17 million range if he gets a deal from someone else as a restricted free agent, and they can match something they're comfortable with.
Where can Markkanen improve?
Obviously his body, and we're hearing
it looks
that
good.
I mean, you know,
I've seen some of the pictures, and
yes,
that guy has put in the work.
And that's good, because the Bulls have an outstanding strength and conditioning coach. You know, they got Chip Schaefer, who has won, what, 11 titles? He was with Phil for the first six with the Bulls. And then
that's
he was
right.
with Kobe and Shaq for five with the Lakers. He is awesome, and he's kind of overseeing that whole department for the Bulls. And Markkanen, they knew they needed to put weight on him. They needed to put muscle on him, and he's done it. He's bought in. And to think how good he was last year, Lawrence, as a first-year player, as a rookie, and now he's going to add that extra weight and that muscle to play the five. It's even better than it's going to be. So I can't wait to see Markkanen this season.
Cash, I appreciate you jumping on, man. I know you probably got stuff going on tonight, but thanks for jumping in and giving some great analysis of what's going on with the Bulls.
Always fun, Lawrence. Love it. Appreciate it.
Steve Cashel, the host of the Bulls pre- and post-game here on The Score. I'm glad that he's a teammate. I really like that guy quite a bit. This hour is brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall. And this segment is being brought to you by Aruba Tourism. Be one happy family on one happy island. Vacation in sunny Aruba with accommodations to fit every size and budget. Plan your happy escape to Aruba today at aruba.com. Let me ask you a question about the Bulls, because we didn't get a chance to really dig into this last night. We kind of talked around it, but we didn't actually do it. So I'd like to spend the next half hour or so talking about this. LeBron's out of the East. There's a window here. How confident are you that the Bulls can take advantage of this? And what things do you think they need to do? Is there enough here to start feeling confident? Or is there more that the Bulls have to do? 312-644-6767 is the number. You can also text in your thoughts at 67011. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score. It's July 3rd, and the NBA has gone crazy. We're talking about what the effect is on your Chicago Bulls. I'd just like to take your temperature. You're a Bulls fan. I'd like to know what you think about what all this stuff, what is the effect now for the Bulls? LeBron James is gone from the Eastern Conference, and here are your Bulls in the middle of a rebuild. I'm not saying that I want the Bulls to rush whatever it is that they got going on as far as a rebuild. I actually think overall, the moves that they've made so far have been pretty smart. I actually like the trade. By the way, notice now that Jimmy Butler don't like Cat now. He doesn't like Karl Anthony Towns. We're getting to the point where Jimmy might need to look in the mirror. It might be you, dog. It might be you. Anyway, they make the move. They get Zach LaVine. And what happens with Zach LaVine is going to be interesting. I agree with Cash that you are talking about a guy that pretty much used last season as an opportunity to see if his knee was okay. I didn't have a problem with the way that LaVine played in the, 26 games that he played last year. I know there were some people who did, and I wasn't one of them. I thought that in a season where you don't really care about winning, let that man go out there and see if he can be the player that he was before he got hurt. Because if he can, then you have what NBA types call an ascending player. A guy that's getting better. A guy that his last year, Minnesota, what did he shoot? 42% from behind the arc? And you're talking about a high riser, an athletic wing player. So if you find out that he's good enough to be a part of your rebuild process, then so be it. I really like Lauri Markkanen. I like his game. I like that he's dedicated. I like that he put in the work this year from being a gangly seven-footer to, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Lowry lately, but that dude is, he's muscled up. And you could see it in his upper body, and I think it's going to make him a better player because he's got a lot of athletic gifts. I'm a big fan of Chris Dunn. And I'm interested to see what he turns into. I thought that coming out in the draft that he was someone that was going to defend. And I like that. I'm wondering if he has enough offensive game to fight off contenders to be the point guard of that team. But it felt like for the longest time, Billy Joel, that the Bulls were waiting for LeBron to leave the conference. That once LeBron's gone, everything's going to be fine. We'll be in the house. Now, their plans got derailed. D-Rose got hurt, and then things got weird. So that plan got derailed. But now here they are again, and the East is not good. It's definitely top-heavy. Boston's good. Philadelphia's good. I think the Wizards have a chance to be good if they could get their two superstars on the same page. Like, honestly, that's a relationship that I don't understand why it doesn't work. It would seem like Bradley Beal is the perfect complement to what John Wall does. Maybe I'm loco, but it just seems like that makes sense, that those two should be able to figure it out. It should be like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Like, that's what they should be in the Eastern Conference. But alas, they're not. I'm not saying that the Bulls are a playoff team because I don't know if Wendell Carter can play. I don't know if Hutchinson can play. I'm just trying to figure out, like, when I look around at what they are, like, look at the bodies that they have around, I'm stuck wondering what is competing now. If you're an NBA team, someone texted, are you going to keep riding off the Pacers? No, the Pacers are fine. It's fine. Fine. You gave $20 million to Doug McDermott. It's fine. Anyway, when it comes to trying to team build now in the NBA, I'm not sure if any general manager outside of what Daryl Morey is doing in Houston, what's going on in Golden State, and what ownership is doing in Los Angeles, in the Celtics and the Sixers. I'm not sure that any general manager knows how to build a team. I'm not saying that those guys are not succeeding in building teams. I'm saying, how do you combat this? I am not one of those people that thinks that the Warriors are bad for the NBA. I think that if you're excellent, you should try to keep being excellent. And you should put your foot on someone's throat. Like, that's what you should be doing. And that's what they're doing. Like, it is, last night, it was hysterical. Because I'm sitting here with Malika Andrews. We're having a great conversation about LeBron. And, like, as she's getting ready to leave, she's like, oh, yeah, Boogie Cousins just signed with the Warriors. It's like they just sat back in the cut. It's like, oh, LeBron, that's adorable that you're going to come to the Western Conference now. And then took the big joker out the deck and threw it down on the table. We're so good that we're going to pay this dude $6 million to rehab. And then, when he's done, we're going to put him in the starting lineup. And we're going to have one of the best passing bigs in the league. You got JaVale McGee. Congratulations. I'm all for this. The thing that I can't figure out, and I don't think people in the NBA can figure out, is what do you do now? Like, can you really afford both financially and from an existential standpoint to punt and keep punting? Oh, well, you know, at some point, maybe Clay will end up leaving in free agency. I'm not sure how you bide your time in the NBA, and I'm not sure how to build a team. Like, does your building of a team have to replicate what the Warriors are? Or do you try to build a team that will neutralize what the Warriors do? can you build a team that is team specific? Like, oh, we have to figure out what the Warriors are doing, and is that going to be good enough to get you where you need to go? I don't know. I would imagine that being an NBA executive right now is very confusing. Because when you're looking at these players that you're trying to draft, what is it that you're looking for? And I look at the Bulls and I go, well, there's some interesting stuff there, but there's nothing that makes me feel like, wow, they're going to win.
Only the Bulls.
Only the Chicago Bulls. Only the one and only Chicago Bulls. But think about this. Put yourself in the position of general manager or team owner or coach in the NBA. What type of team can you possibly build? How do you develop talent that is just ungodly? There's nothing like Steph Curry. Nothing in the NBA. There's no other player that's like him. There's really no other player like Kevin Durant in the NBA. I still think that he's the second best player, but I'm talking about from his unique skill set. And then you add in what he can do from behind the arc, which to me is the difference between him and LeBron. And, you know, LeBron being more of a physical player. There's nothing like that. And then they've added around pieces that maybe you didn't think were going to fit as well as these pieces fit. Draymond Green, him being a Swiss Army knife player, doing all the things you need defensively, occasionally hitting one of his ugly shot three-pointers, giving a team that is filled with seemingly nice guys a bad boy edge to it. Like, how are you going to build? There are a lot of people talking about Victor Oladipo. He's a really good player. You're not winning a championship with Victor Oladipo. I'm sorry. I actually really like Victor.
That's only 1 year, too.
I interviewed Victor Oladipo at the Final Four. I found him to be extremely engaging, and I am happy for the way that his production on the floor has turned out. But if you're willing to hitch your wagon to Victor Oladipo, I'm going to tell you that you're going to be disappointed. There needs to be more. I'm not saying that you can't win with him. You can't win with Victor Oladipo alone. You need to be building and building and building. Texer says, can't match Golden State offensively. Maybe look physically and defensively. Okay. But you still got to score. Think about the games that they played in against Houston last year. In these games where you're like, oh, Houston's got them. And then Steph's like, no, they don't. Watch what we do in the third quarter. Rockets would be up like 16 points. Third quarter would come along, and Steph's like, boom, 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 boom. Now we're up 10 and going away. Same thing with Cleveland. Outside of game one. Oh, we're going to play them really hard. Oh, look at this. The Cavaliers are in the game at the half. Third quarter happens. Boom, 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 boom. Now Golden State's up 22 points. I don't know if the league has an answer for this. 312-644-6767 is the number. Hey, Bruce, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Great show. Good topic. I liked your guest. The update on the Bulls. I can't believe all the trades that have gone down last couple nights. I've just sat here in shock watching the NBA channel, listening to the changes. Rajon Rondo going to the Lakers. LeBron. I thought all along there was a good shot that he would either go to the Lakers because of all of his other outside interests, and or maybe look at Philadelphia. But that kind of shocked. It didn't shock me in the long run. But I am really high on the Bulls with Wendell Carter coming. I think his ceiling is going to surprise a lot of people. I'm like you, Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn. I thought Dunn at the beginning of the season really turned his game around. I'm waiting to see what happens with the contract with Zach LaVine. But I got a question for you as far as maybe free agents out there.
Okay.
They talk about Jabari Parker. I mean, he was. I've always been a big fan of his. He's up in Milwaukee now. Is that? I know he's had the injuries, but he's still. Would that even be a possibility? You think that Paxson might be looking on? But I think the Bulls are going to make the playoffs. I really do. With LeBron gone, they just what they did during that one spurt when the young guys started playing, won 7 out of 8. I'm a basketball junkie, anyhow. And I just like to see the Bulls, but I didn't know about what your thoughts are on Jabari Parker. What if that would be a possibility?
I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in, Bruce. I feel like Jabari Parker is worth the risk, but I need to know what the dollars are going to be. The problem is that Jabari Parker's got bad knees. In the last two seasons, he's played one full season of basketball. I'm also a proponent. I have now turned into a proponent of not going to play in your hometown. Like I said last night, I think Jabari is probably better equipped, and with him not being the number one pick in the draft by the Bulls, maybe the pressure is lesser on him than it was on Derrick Rose. But if Jabari asked me my opinion, it is possible I might catch him over there at the church in Hyde Park. If he asked me my opinion, I would tell him, if you can find another place that's going to pay you similarly, I would go there. Because the pressure of playing at home is difficult. But if you're asking me, like, would I want Jabari Parker added to this mix of young guys? Yes, I think the risk is worth it. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to talk. How do you build a team in today's NBA? How do you combat what the Warriors are doing? And how should the Bulls proceed? We shall proceed after this timeout. Back after this on The Score. It's interesting seeing people text in about Jabari Parker. This text from the 773. Run, Jabari. Don't do it. Run. This text says, one thing I worry about with Parker and this young group of players is in the past, Parker had some major issues with the coaching and management of the Bucks. Now, at the same time, that management and coaching is no longer there, so it's hard to say who is right. Jason Kidd, bad. They wasted a couple of years of a great player. As we talk about the idea of trying to put together a team in today's NBA, a 708 texter says you have to wait till half of the team leave Golden State or Father Time catches up. When is that? Like, how do you prepare as if Father Time is going to catch up with the Golden State Warriors and that they're just going to collapse? Like, how? How old is Draymond? Is Draymond 26? 27? Give me the ages of the Golden State Warriors. Durant's 29, right? But Klay Thompson, isn't Klay only 27, 28 years old?
All right, at the end of the year, the Golden State Warriors, let us see. Klay's 27, Durant 29, Draymond's 27, Steph's 29, Iggy's 34. That's about it. That's all you need to know. Quinn Cook, if you want to know, is 24.
How old is DeMarcus Cousins? He's only on a one-year deal, but I'm just curious.
Boogie. I don't have it up right here. Mike Chin might have it up.
What's Boogie, 26?
27.
That's a long time to wait. Like, your franchise still needs to function, and you need to be moving towards something. I wish that I understood what the trend of other teams was in the NBA. Like, what they're thinking from a strategic standpoint on how you go about team building in this era, where the only solution to the Golden State issue is this one, is this question, okay? Do you have LeBron? No? Then you have no shot. Even if you have LeBron, your chances aren't great. So how do you build? That's why I wonder, is it better for teams in this era of the NBA to take more risk? The Bulls played it safe in the draft. I didn't have a big problem with them drafting Wendell Carter Jr. But at some point, do you have to get a little risky? If you're playing in an era where you know that you can't win the championship, what then becomes the way that you want to put a team together behind it? And if this is all an experiment, then why not draft Michael Porter Jr. and roll the dice?
And if they're going to roll the dice, you see the packages put together for what Kawhi Leonard is going to have for the LA Lakers. I'm not sure if the Bulls have better, but they can probably put a package together and then make Lowry and Kawhi be the focal points. But
he doesn't want to be here. He's not going to re-sign.
That's fine. Do it for 1 year.
You're willing to do that for a year? I don't think I would be. I mean, taking a risk.
I mean, that's what everybody said about PG-13. And then he went out to Oak City. He's like, you know what? All right. I like this. This is where my bird rights are at. I get the most money here. Smooth. I'll be here for the next four.
Has there ever been a player in the league that we know less about than Kawhi Leonard? Like, we think we know what type of guy he is. We have no idea what type of guy he is. What are you guys saying?
Mike was like Tim Duncan. I was like, that's what we thought he was. Like, and how Tim Duncan was kind of like docile and
boring.
Going along with the flow of what Pop says. But no. Kawhi's people are like, nah.
No, we're not doing
like,
that.
He's like, we're coming back from that thigh injury. And he's like, nah, we're a little hurt right now. Only 9 games this year, man.
That relationship between Duncan and Pop solidified. Like, that's a strong relationship. Like, had there been some sort of rift with Duncan and the Spurs, Pop would have stepped in and it would have been over. I don't even think that Pop got a dinner with Kawhi. I think he was trying to get a dinner with him, and Kawhi was like, no, I'm good. We don't need to talk. This segment being brought to you by Subway. Wrap your hands around Subway restaurant's savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. Enjoy tender rotisserie-style chicken topped off with savory Caesar sauce fit for an emperor. Try one today. Limited time only at participating restaurants. The NBA is a flowchart that says, do you have LeBron? And if your answer is no, then it goes straight down to the bottom. And it goes, you will not win next year's NBA championship. Do you have LeBron? Yes. What else do you have? I got Lonzo Ball. You will not win an NBA championship next year. I bet this stuff keeps NBA people up at night.
I would say, yeah, I'm thinking that Golden State has this on lock, but we had Chris Paul miss two clutch pivotal games pretty much at the end of the series.
Agreed.
But also they lost Trevor Ariza, a big piece of that team.
A big piece of your wing defense that you're going to put out there.
And they were giving Golden State all they can handle when Chris Paul was in the game. So I'm not, you know, giving it all over to Golden State, because also this Achilles is hard to come back from. I remember Dominique Wilkins wasn't the same player when he came back.
That was 30 years ago.
Or Zeke, or I don't know who else got one, but it usually, you know, your explosiveness is a little less.
He doesn't need to be explosive.
This is his left leg. He needs to do something off his left leg. He needs to shoot jump shots.
He needs to have the ball dumped into him and then pass it to Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson.
If he can't do nothing, I'm good. If he can't explode and spin off that left ankle like he used to.
Okay, so he tosses the ball back out to Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson.
So he's Zaza Pachulia then.
Fine. They've won titles with Zaza Pachulia.
I'm just saying.
And like, JaVale McGee.
You know, taking a breath and a beat and saying, all right, he's good, but I don't know what type of player he's going to be. Is that Boogie coming back? If that Boogie's coming back, game over.
Here's the way I look at like how good teams are out West. New Orleans was really good. And they got into the play and it just got ran. Like, you look at what Houston and Golden State does to people, and it's like, wow, my team's decent, and we got ran off the floor. What if you're garbage? What happens to you then? If you have any thoughts on preparing a team in the Golden State Warrior era, I look forward to hearing it. Some people have texted in. I'll share those with you. 312-644-6767 is the number. I had a nice conversation with Malika Andrews yesterday. I'll share some of that with you next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.